Hello everyone, you're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
Cultivate a wealth of virtue. To tame this mind of ours, this is Buddha Dharma. The most important is tame this mind of ours. Taming the mind. Taming. Training the mind. Because at the moment what happens is mind is not, it's wild. It's just out of control. There's nothing negative. Negativity no longer exists. If you remove the negative, then you reach a certain level down, everything is positive. Even seemingly in obstacles, whatever, is always a blessing. Then when you come to know the teachings more, the awareness, the understanding, the wisdom, and the compassion become that spaciousness. Spaciousness becomes the nature of your life. Spaciousness is the natural great peace. The spaciousness is the peace of mind. The spaciousness is the wisdom. Spaciousness is the compassion. Just at the beginning, just being very spacious. But here, the space that I'm talking about is very special. In one way, it's very ordinary kind of spaciousness, but in a way, very spacious, very special kind of spaciousness. Which means spacious to everything. When you begin spacious to the environment, spacious to, especially to yourself, to your thoughts, emotions. Spacious to all the risings and non-judging. You don't really try to stop anything. You don't try to suppress anything. Nor indulge in anything, just by being spacious. When the spaciousness is there, then all thought just become quiet, become weak. They no longer have power, or they no longer are a problem.
Hello everyone, welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. That was Soig Rinpoche, who was really reminding us about the importance of being spacious. It's on Monique Rhodes' Heartbeat album. I hope today finds you in a good spirit, and you are asking life's most important questions. One in particular that has been coming up quite frequently within the last decade is what actually happens to us after we die, pass on. We've recently just lost a very dear friend, Barbara Marks Hubbard, who has been a voice of change and evolutionary thinking for quite some while. And it intrigued me because our community, whether it's the Brahma Kumaris or evolutionary leaders or motivational speakers, folks who have known Barbara Marks Hubbard for quite a long time, we're all echoing the same sentiment. She's not gone. Feels like she's just changed her body, and she's going to come back and continue her work in another one. And where I might deeply believe that is true, there's still quite a number of us globally who still are perplexed. We're perplexed about what really happens to the soul. We see the body going 6 feet under. Some of us also cremate our physical body. But there is something that might be subtly, psychically, spiritually also taking place, trying to help us to understand why we're actually here. You know, because when people die, nature sometimes reacts. A story at a picnic, a woman that was grieving the loss of her 5-year-old child sees a small bird land on her breast, and the bird stays there until she shoos it away. The act actually was a symbolic act of her finally letting go of her baby. And there was another story about a woman's favorite flower that blooms after her death in the dead of winter. Can you believe that? And do you all remember the Pulse Massacre? It was the Orlando Vigil outside. Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts was attended by thousands of people. Now, a bell tolled for each of the 49 victims killed when a man opened fire in the Orlando gay bar Pulse, and I think it was in June of 2016. And as the names were being read, a photographer had snapped a picture, and he saw a flock of exactly 49 birds flying overhead. So what actually happens to us when we die? or what I would like to say, when the soul leaves the body. It's an age-old question for which religions have provided answers with faith and little proof. Governments have spent millions and millions of dollars on health and scientific research, but almost nothing on the death transition we will all go through. What do you believe? What do you understand? I'm going to be having a conversation with one of our incredible instruments in the Brahma Kumaris. Today I'm joined by Dr. Prashant Kakodi to discuss reincarnation and the immortality of the soul. Dr. Kakodi has a background in surgery and integrated health. He has practiced Raja Yoga meditation with the Brahma Kumaris for approximately 35 years and currently coordinates the Brahma Kumaris activities in Cambridge, England. His main interest is in the relationship between the psyche, emotions, behavior, and health. A well-known figure on the world speaker circuit, Dr. Kakodi lectures on various topics ranging from science and consciousness to the holistic principles of life and health. He has spoken on these subjects in many countries and institutions, including the World Health Organization and the Medical Teaching Program within the United States. Today, we're very happy to welcome Dr. Prashant Kakodi to the air. Hi, brother. Glad to have you.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning to you. I'm always inspired by individuals who dig extra deep to find those jewels, you know. So many of us are still kind of scathing on the surface, and that's fine. But there's so much to discover if you go a little bit deeper. But before we go into the whole conversation of reincarnation, share with us a little bit about how you got interested in Raja Yoga meditation. Was it some near-death experience that you were having, or, you know, how did it actually emerge that your soul and body took you into the study of Raja Yoga?
Yeah, sure. This is many years ago, many decades ago now. Now I'm 64. So when I was 14 years of age, there was interest to know the world beyond the limits of science. And maybe we all are in this generation excited with science, and that was going on. But I also knew that there is something more that is there, and science cannot help us to know this. So that was the initial seed. And then as time progresses, many, many things that happen, and that just supports that search and drive until, in my case, I came across this institution, Spiritual University.
Beautiful. And how has it actually impacted your life?
Yes, this question was asked in another place recently. And one way I can say is 180 degrees turned round. And this is what we can say.
It's nice when we actually have an awakening and begin to shift the way that we see the world outside of us. Now, as a doctor, what have been your views, especially of late, of the healthcare industry? America functions so much differently than India does. And I believe the UK, Canada, Japan, for example. So when you look at the healthcare industry now, is it really helping us to become emotionally, spiritually, and physically healthier?
You know, even in the research in the health, and if we see the statistics, what is happening, by our present model, and the way we see life and health and illness, we are investing trillions of dollars, and lots of clever people are working in this field, and every year so much research and publications happening. And after all this, today we have more illness than even 30 years
mm-hmm.
ago.
Exactly. And why
just
is that?
In the last,
why is that?
Because we have not understood the real reason for illness, and our model has got limitations. If we got a system of medicine that ignores, say, heart, for whatever reason, then that system will be incomplete. So we haven't got all the factors clearly, and we work very, very intensely at a rather gross level, as if we are dealing with the symptoms and not dealing with the deeper reason.
I remembered talking to an executive for a very, very big insurance company, which I will not mention, but he said that if everybody got healthy, the healthcare industry, or the insurance companies in particular, would go under. And so their aim isn't really about curing people. And it was shocking because they knew that. And I got that instantly when he told me, and that's why I feel that as individuals we have to take care of our own lives, psychically, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And a lot of us are now kind of leaning over to why certain things happen to us. Why do we encounter certain illnesses, especially, Dr. Kokodi, when we feel like we've been good people. So that moves me into our conversation on reincarnation, which I know is an area of interest to you. And I know this tends to be a controversial subject as well. Not many people in the world are actually researching and diving deeper into this idea. They might hear about it, but to actually pump in millions or billions of dollars to try to understand what is the soul, how do we function, why are we here, that, I think, needs a lot more room of interest. So some people believe in reincarnation and some don't. For our listeners who may not be familiar with this topic, could you share what is reincarnation to you?
Sure. For the time being, let us go beyond belief and let us see the information that is seen by the researchers. You know, you got an institute here not very far in the University of Virginia. In the institute is called Division of Perceptual Studies. And Ian Stevenson there, who was a psychiatrist, who studied the cases of children who remember past lives. And over a period of time, he has got thousands of cases where children remember past lives. Now, Ian Stevenson and Dr. Jim Tucker and their team, there are, these are like a proper scientists and have got a very clear methodology. And they are not trying to prove a belief. They just want to know the facts, what is happening in the children. And they are seeing a very, very interesting pattern when you are studying thousands of cases from different countries and different cultures, and lots of them from this country itself. And more cases constantly come to them, they say. You know, and these are cases where children and parents are approaching this institution, telling them that their 3-year-old, 4-year-old, you know, what he is doing, and the people from this research team, they visit them, they study them, and sometimes they have found 40 facts, 50 facts that this child is talking about, it matches with the reality of the other life, which means in some cases they know almost everything of the other life. And then they also try in these studies, they try to see what is the different ways we can explain this, and very compulsive evidence is that there is the soul that is whatever word we use, a consciousness or soul, but there is an mm-hmm. vector that is traveling there, and that is not the brain, and that is not at a physical level.
Yeah, yeah. Can I tell you that I believe in it? Because even in my own moments of reflection and even quietude, I get thoughts, Prashant, and I get feelings, and they're no way connected to what I have seen, heard, or felt here and now or in this lifetime. And I think about it, and I always wonder about parents who actually have the karmic experience of a child that will tell them, you know, I had a different mommy, or I was married with three kids, or I died here, or I died there. And I'm like wondering, what is the blockage for souls? What do you think is the blockage for souls to not accept that the soul is a living energy that inhabits the body and plays out a part, and that it's so important that we recognize performing actions that don't give sorrow actually ensures the soul for having many, many more experiences of happiness for the future? What do you think the blockage is that we're not able to even remotely think that there is a really strong possibility that that universal law or nature is true?
Yes, it is like a different thinking. We need to think in a very broad perspective. And at present, we are not seeing the big picture. We are as if, you know, the society, you know, trains us to get caught into small things, think about the same thing over and over again, the cyclical thoughts about things. All of that prevents us from having this bigger view of our journey, life. It is almost like, you know, one person just can see today, and another person says, no, I got another many years to live, and so I have to plan for the next 20 years, as opposed to thinking just of today, let me have a mm-hmm. party today. At present, mm-hmm. the society is taken in that direction, thinking just very much in a smaller level picture. If we train ourselves to see the bigger map of our journey, then many things become obvious that we are travelers, and this is part of our much longer journey.
And is that why you believe in reincarnation? Is it an awareness that you walk around with pretty regularly day by day, that you know you come back and you play out maybe another part, and the actions that you have performed will have some sort of a consequence in your future? Or, you know, it's just something that you're developing along the way?
Yes. It is now beyond belief. It is very obvious and real at a personal level. But once you know that there is a journey, then obviously there becomes you can't ignore it. That whatever we always plan for tomorrow, if there is tomorrow, I have to plan for it. So if once you understand there is a journey and there is a future beyond this life, then to start with, it creates a certain shift in your attitude. You become mm-hmm. deeply secure. Otherwise, mm-hmm. this fear of end and death subconsciously, you know, distracts us. We don't like it. We never accept it. And that creates in all human beings a very complex personality. And its roots are in this insecurity. That's why the greed and addictions and whatever people are doing, including violence, its roots are at that level. That there is, they are trying to fight this insecurity that is in them. When you understand you don't die, and in a true sense, beyond harm, you know, if there is a journey, you continue, then even death cannot harm you.
Right.
Then nothing else can harm you.
This might be a silly question, but if I were to ask you, are you afraid of death? Would you be honest internally, deeply, to say, you know, I'm not?
Definitely, you know, there will be some factor of fear that mm-hmm. will be there. There are some attachments, ego, that are, and they don't like this death. But there is definitely a huge shift. You know, the things, there is a difference. So many times, being in situations where it could have been a death, you know, more recently, but also in the last few years. And it was good to observe that during those situations, reactions were different. There was no fear.
That's a very, very honest response. Thanks so much. Friends, if you're joining us on air, I'm having a conversation with Dr. Prashant Kakodi, who is enlightening us a little bit more on the concept of reincarnation. He's been practicing Raj Yoga meditation with the Brahma Kumaris for just about 35 years. And so now he continues to take his spiritual study even to deeper levels as well. I've heard of researcher Jim B. Tugger. Turns out that you and I ended up connecting or knowing about this particular scientist. And he's been collecting data that demands a more, you know, clearer answer in terms of what happens to soul after death. And coincidences were involved in bringing, I guess, Dr. Tugger to the work that he's now promoting very actively in his career at the University of Virginia. And I believe that Ian Stevenson needed someone to also carry on his reincarnation work from the university. And at the age of 77, I think he passed away, and time came, and he handed over this research and this project to Jim Tugger. Now, my curiosity about this is to find out, do you think the scientific community will really help us to understand the deeper subject or the deeper awareness of what reincarnation is? Do you think they will be able to assist us, or is this something that each of us individually will experience at some point in our lives on our own?
You know, this institution in Virginia, where Jim Tugger is the director, and heads the team of research, they got evidence beyond any doubt about this subject of reincarnation, but many other subjects they are studying, in an extracorporeal existence of the human being after death, and out-of-body experiences, and they are studying the whole area of this paranormal with absolute authority. They can tell what is going on. In one sense, you just need one good case to really show what happens. It is a bit like you just need to eat one grain of sugar to know that it is sweet. You don't
That's
need
true.
To eat every grain that exists on the planet of sugar. In the same way, one case of real, authentic study is enough, but they've got thousands of cases. But having said that, you asked about science community. Within the field of science, people have admitted very, very directly that if they accept this study and the findings of this study to be true, then whole science will have to be revamped. We will have to make different theories and teach children different knowledge altogether. And are we prepared for it? You know, are we going to go for this now, or are we going to postpone it? But not just that. If this is true, like some professors, you know, in the science world, they say, then all of us are wrong. If Ian Stevenson is right, then we all are wrong. And it also means many departments in this world may have to close down. And that enormous research is going on in so many fields, that has to be stopped, because it is now different game. We may have to do research about the soul rather than trying to discover if Big Bang really happened or something like that.
Are you optimistic?
There are factors. One is the optimism that scientists will change, but what happens is there are ego that is also involved in this. We create ego based upon our own ideas, ego based upon our position, and ego is helplessly selfish. And ego will never admit what is right or what is true to be true. Ego has got his agenda. So even in the field of science, just as in politics, when ego comes in, ego is not free to embrace what is right or what is genuinely good for this community. Ego just thinks of itself. So in understanding these factors in the equation, then we have to proceed. And we have to, as you said at the beginning, we have to do our own little judgment and take steps, because we can't wait for the ego of others to give us permission.
I asked you the question, because I asked you the question if you're optimistic, because we've seen, even just within our own lives, ego seems to be one of the last lower vibrational levels of consciousness to leave our personality. And then, you know, you're looking at, you know, hundreds of thousands of scientists around the world who will have to say nothing that we've done really has merited this reality, this truth. And they would have to really perhaps come to some kind of an awakening that by knowing this concept of reincarnation, the world will become a better place. Maybe they will begin to dismantle nuclear armaments. Maybe all weapons of destruction will start to be buried on the ground. Maybe husbands and wives will stop fighting. Maybe children will stop wasting hours in these violent games that they're playing. And when you do that, the whole economy changes, Dr. Kokodi. I mean, are we even spiritually, emotionally, mentally ready for that kind of a change? And will we be able to see that in our lifetime?
It is happening. And yes, it has. And there is no other option. Other option is just making the ego bigger, and the ego is destructive. So change is happening, and it will gather momentum. And there's this change towards the subtle and the spiritual, it will become exponential.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of people have various misconceptions about everything in life. It depends on what's recorded in your being, in the way that you interpret things outside of you. And we've reached a point, or we're reaching a point, that we're trying to get to a more deeper place of self-respect so that we can honor each other's ideas, but still leave room for growth and possible transformation. I met a man last year who was dying of terminal cancer, and he had never met anyone like me in a white sari, or much less somebody who was Indian, and just all of these things, much less someone in meditation and spirituality. Long story short, he walked everywhere with his King James Bible. Love this man. And one of his reservations is that he thought, being Indian, I must be a Hindu, that he says, well, your God says that you take a birth or a life in animals, and my God doesn't teach me that. So some people do believe that the soul can incarnate in animals or in plants. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, sure. In this study by the Division of Perceptual Studies, they got 24,000 cases over the last 50 years. And all these cases, not one of them had experience of being in an animal life before. They all talk about having a human existence in the past. And it also means that they can tell, all these 25,000 cases, they can cross the boundaries, which means they can go from one country and be in a completely different country next birth, can be in a completely different race, religion, gender, and family, of course. You know, so we can cross the boundaries, but not one. There is a experience of being an animal. So that gives us the insight, possibly human soul needs a human body. It may be that animal souls, they need those kind of bodies. You know, in other words, cats need the body of a cat, and birds need the body of a bird. But do we stay in the same species? Just like a pilot needs an aeroplane and a lorry driver needs a lorry. Can be a green lorry, can be a white lorry, but he needs a lorry.
So then would you say that as a human soul, we leave the body and we take another body, how do we end up changing genders, religion, economic standings in the world, languages, color of the skin, race. Is there something that we are clear on what we're doing now that's actually creating those sort of a manifestation of matter?
Mm-hmm. In these science studies, the one thing they know is we do change, that is clear. Also, other factors that they can see, that larger majority of reincarnations happen in a lower social hierarchy, which means we go down. And social hierarchy, in every culture, there is a hierarchy of some kind. So in one birth, they may be having a good education, good family, good sort of social and financial life. Next birth, it goes down. Social ladder, they find the majority goes down. Mm. And how can we explain this? And having said that, we also see that there are some cases it stays at the same level or it goes up. And in cases where it goes up, it is when they had died as a child. At a younger age. Mm. If someone has lived a full life, then the pattern, what is seen in Virginia, the pattern is they tend to go down the hierarchy. Now, if we are to explain this, how can we explain it further? We can see that after the age of 18, a person is free to take his own decisions and he's free to buy cigarettes and alcohol. Now, this freedom that we get is used to spiritually, go down the spiral. We use that freedom to feed the lower consciousness within us. And so when that is the culture that is created, use freedom to indulge, that is one life you got, get trapped more and more. Now, that kind of life will reflect at the outer level, and that will also be in the shift in the hierarchy. But in children, when they die at a young age, seen from the spiritual perspective, they have not created bad karma. You know, their just whole life was settlement of their past. Birth and death is always painful. And then they die again. So all this short life they lived, they have settled the karma and they have not created more attachments. Mm. And so they are sort of free to move temporarily up. It is not because they have done any good karma, but they have settled the negative account.
Oh, that's well said. I really appreciated that. So that means, let's say I'm in my 50s, and if I continue to do the kind of work that I do in my life, which is to create positivity and you know, live a good life, not bring harm to the animals or to the earth, even if I left my body at 90, are you saying that I would climb up? I would have a better life, economic standing, respect, health, a good intellect that does good in studies and all of that?
I mean, on top of it, we also need to introduce some disciplines that takes us actually in the soul awareness. You know, or we have to take steps to reduce our attachments, reduce our ego, along with others. Being nice and kind is one level, but we also need to be at a deeper level, right?
Mm.
At present, we are not, society is not soul conscious. That's why the ego is in the driving seat. You know, here we need to bring about this change, and that guarantees, you know, it is almost like you are moving up the spiral internally. And as if your consciousness has moved up, that will reflect in the outer shift.
I love that. That sounds
shift
great.
In the
That's
hierarchy.
Very soothing. Yeah, I love that. I love that. So then, is it safe to say that it doesn't matter if you're black, white, Chinese, Middle Eastern, it doesn't mean that you're in a low birth? It's really a matter of character, respect, standing in a society?
Yes. All this is like an outer body. It is just like kind of color hat you are using. The real person is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but wherever we are in this world, at present, we have a huge room, potential, to bring about a big shift. That's why we were saying at the beginning, 180 degrees turned around, that is possible. And this happens by knowing that we are from a different world. We are temporary guests in this world and temporarily associated with everything here.
Mm-hmm.
One who sees it himself is invisible. And that's why that shift of consciousness, he has got a little challenge in this. To grasp that invisible you, who is using the body as if someone is using a shoe or a hat. Body is just like an instrument that is used, but one who is using is invisible and from a completely different world.
Continue.
Stay in that awareness. It may be for even a minute. That has power to reduce our older consciousness.
You're talking about God?
In this case, soul awareness.
Soul awareness, okay.
Yeah, But as the soul wakes up, he comes to know more about his world, his world of God, and his company with God. He will know more about it as he wakes
up. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, we're coming to an end to our show, and I can't end without asking one last question. Some people feel that it's beneficial to have a past life regression because you've got some children who are telling you of their past lives and giving insights into things. There are some cases that I've heard where even the soul that reincarnates comes back and tells officials, like the police force or I forgot what word, that they actually will tell the police force or whomever who actually killed them. So some people feel that it is beneficial to have a past life regression conducted to help them with the current life challenges that they're enduring. Is it really necessary? Is it helpful? Would you recommend it?
I personally not, because all that we need to know is, does reincarnation exist? And if we have understood this, then we have to look into the future. We don't need to go into the past. That is not, in a true sense, spiritually beneficial. To look into the future is more beneficial.
Thank you for that. I know that a lot of people have asked this question. Dr. Prashant Kokodi, I know you're going to be speaking at the Meditation Museum on Thursday. And I'm hoping that all of our friends will come out and listen to some of the words of wisdom that you'll have to share. And the topic, I believe, will be on clearing your emotional clutter with Dr. Prashant Kokodi at the Meditation Museum, April 25th at 6:30 to 8 p.m. Dr. Prashant, thanks so much. Have an incredible, beautiful day. And thank you for being so sincere, honest, and gentle.
It's a pleasure. And looking forward to the talk on Thursday.
Okay. Take care. And Om Shanti. Bye-bye.
Om Shanti.
I loved his clarity, and you could sense just from his whole vibration and presence that, you know, he's just a man that speaks from a truth place and a place of reality. So hopefully today's conversation on reincarnation helped to offer some more insight on how we need to live in this lifetime and what we can do in this lifetime. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we really are here to love each other the same. Here's Paul Leftenegger, The World, in honor of International Earth Day.
And the world goes round and round on an axis. In the air, and it rotates in such a way. There are 24 hours to every day, and 365 days. God send your loving angels to guide us on our way down here. It's a world of hope and kindness now. It's a perfect peace I see. It's these pictures of peace that set my heart free to really be me. Shower this world, shower this world with peace. Show what your heart, show what your soul.
I'm Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you enjoy that conversation? Because you can also listen to it on Spotify or in iTunes, 24/7, anytime, anywhere. I do trust we all have inner power to become our very best. When we listen with curiosity to learn more, we grow. So thanks so much for tuning in, and do be easy on yourself. Take care.